Well, desire your prayers. I'm thinking about a scripture, 27th of Proverbs. And the 8th verse says, "As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place." I think when the writer of these Proverbs wrote these, we look at it spiritually, but I think the writer, when he wrote them, was writing them primarily for the physical. But it has meaning in the spiritual, but I think he was writing it. He must have somewhere in his life seen that a man that gets out of his place, that leaves out of his realm and tries to go into other places, not very successful. Because he uses the idea here of a bird that wanders from its nest. And what I think it's talking about is the idea of a small bird. I don't think he's talking about the big birds of prey here that can defend themselves. I think he's talking about little sparrows and those kind of helpless little birds that wander outside of the realms of their protection. See, when a bird builds a nest, it's not as haphazard as it looks like. It's chosen. It's a chosen place. You don't see them just out here in the open on top of the roof or most of the time they're secured somewhere. They put them in a very secure place. It's a place that predators can't get to. It's usually sheltered from the majority of the storms and rains, those kind of things. They put them in a certain place, and they're not just chosen just for the security of the location itself, but they pick them for the what kind of protection they have around them, also what kind of cover there is in bushes and those kind of things. They've got to be able to get to their food source relatively quick, so they're going to put it in an area that allows them to do that. They've got to get to the food and back in safety, and so the way they choose a nest site is very important to them, and it keeps them the ability to raise their offspring up until it's mature and able to go on. That's the whole point of the idea of where they put their nest has to do with how successful they can be in bringing their little ones up all the way until they're full grown and capable of being able to keep the process going. But it says that a man that leaves his place is like a bird that leaves his nest. A man that goes outside the realms of that kind of a protection. And I think he was talking about it naturally when he wrote it. He probably looked and saw the fact that a man that leaves family and friends and those that he has learned to trust and knows, and he goes out into the world, so to speak, goes out into different lands. He don't have that. There's many people that would take advantage of you out there. And this writer no doubt has looked at that and said, that's not the best situation for a young man. It will be hard for him to go outside those places and to be able to go and get a wife and be able to bring children up, to really to bring them all the way up in that kind of a place like they ought to. A man that leaves his place, just like the bird that leaves its place, the chances are going to be greatly diminished when that bird starts going beyond the realms of the reason it built the nest there to start with. See, that's what the idea of this is that once it starts going on out into the open, it's going to be faced with all the birds of prey that are out there, and it's going to be all the predators that are out there. It's going to make it much harder to get back to really be able to take care of its young. It's going to put a lot of stress on it. A lot of these a lot of these birds that do this, it's teamwork between the male and the female. And to raise a nest of little ones, a lot of times it takes both of them going constantly out to give food, to bring them back to feed them. And when one of them gets caught, it's almost impossible to raise the whole nest. Some of them's got to be sacrificed because they can't get them all done. Well, a man's that way too, the writer says. And I think he's talking about, I think this has to do more than just the natural. I think there's an analogy here for us this morning that the man that leaves his place is in great danger, not only for himself, but he's in great danger of not being able to really fulfill the desire that he has to be able to bring a family up in the way that God would have him to. So Lord, help us today. I have had a burden on my heart for many years along this way, and I think about it from time to time. I'm concerned about our young people, because in my short time of serving the Lord, I have seen over and over and over again a pattern of looking out and longing for something more, wanting something that the world is trying to give, that's drawing outside the realms of protection, that is speaking, it's the old siren call, that it's beautiful sounding, it's something to be longed after, but it's so dangerous. It's so dangerous, and many are in between. I see them not quite willing to go all the way to that siren call, but yet get close enough to try to enjoy the sounds of it, to try to enjoy something of it, and be able to get outside of their place. But I'm going to tell you, many times the real fruit of that thing never shows up in that generation. But the children, the little ones go undernourished, underfed spiritually. They never get the real doses they should have because the real substance is not there. And I've seen it happen in my time that young people will get up to a certain age, and I pray regularly for the children of our world that are at that 12, I don't know, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, that age through there of our world. It's probably less younger in the world than it is among us. I hope it that we're not getting that low. But the children of the world, I'm going to tell you, I think sometimes on a daily basis I'm thinking, Lord, oh no, I know that there's more young people tonight going to make steps in their life that they're never going to recover from. That they're going to do decisions 12, 13 years old, that are going to make decisions that they're never going to be able to back up on. That it's going to alter their lives forever, the decisions they're about to make at such a young age. Well, Lord, help us. But most of the time you can't really blame the children. Most of the time, there's a result of a man that's left his place. Most of the time, if you look into it, you'll see a place where someone's lost their place. Maybe not all the time. I'm reminded of a story that I read one time of a young girl. She was a very popular girl in school. She was in her freshman year, and she was straight-A student. Band member, if I remember right. She did activities. Very popular. Had life ahead of her. And she started liking an older guy in her school. He was a senior. She kind of got infatuated with him. And she liked him. And one day they was out at the park. And just some of the students all out there. And she was there. And he was there. And he pulls out a joint, marijuana, starts passing it around. It come to her. Here's a straight A student, got along very well with her family. Very popular girl, had everything ahead of her, and it comes to her. No, she said, I don't do that. That's commendable that you don't do that. Stand up in front of all of those people. But they insisted. You know what happens in those kinds of, it's called peer pressure. Oh, what's wrong with you? We're all doing it. We're cool. We're up on things. It won't hurt you to do it once. Once won't hurt you. And after a while, she gave in to that. I'm going to tell you, they say, statistically speaking, they say that almost all the time that the first time's not that somebody smokes, it's not marijuana. It's almost always cigarettes. Usually people that smoke marijuana are people that smoke cigarettes anyway. It leads into it, what the point is. It leads into it, one of them. Almost nobody does hard drugs until they've done marijuana. Statistically speaking. That's usually what gets people into it. It did her. She got into it and was smoking marijuana, running around with her friends. Her grades started going down. Her family relationships started being disheveled. Before long, she was in harder and harder drugs. By the time she was a junior, she hid it for a long time, hid her grades going down. She lied, she cheated, she did whatever she had to. And she got to a point that her parents started finding out things, and they tried to change her and help her and all those things. Parents can sure be mean. Parents can sure be sticks in the mud. That's true, but I'm going to tell you who's going to be with you all the way is mom and dad. Yeah, they may not see it your way. It may be all different, but I'm going to tell you when it comes down to, you know, who loves you and will always love you, who will give themselves for you and die for you. That's right, it's mom and dad. We don't always get along with mom and dad, but when it comes, push comes to shove, I'm going to tell you where mom and dad's going to be. They're going to be there fighting for it. You think those friends are that way? What happened to this young girl? She fought with her mom and dad and wrestled around, and she was in a terrible time, and you don't love me and friends love me and all this, and she was with her friends one night and they got a hold of some bad drugs, and she took them and she went into convulsions, and down on the floor she went, and she was dying, and guess what? Her friends done. Gone. Left her there. Ended up, the police was called, she was found, the police was called, her friends abandoned her, come and got an ambulance, took her on. She was months in the hospital. Guess who didn't come? Then guess who did? Guess who was there from the start? Guess who was there giving all that they could for her? Who you think wrote the whole story? Who was there pleading for other young people, don't do this? That's right, that was mom and dad. They were there for her all the way, and their hope and desire was that what she had done wouldn't affect her life in long term. They was hoping they could make it minimal, because they knew she had already went in a lot of areas in her life in a way that she could never roll back. Freshman in high school is a good place, folks. I've seen it all my life. There is some change that starts happening right about that time that starts it. And I pray for our young people across the nation. Lord, help them to stay in their place. Help them not to leave their place. And Lord, help us as parents and as adults to make the place. Make the place a place that's worth staying there. Make it as easy as you can to stay in that kind of place. Make it secure. Make it happy and joyful. Make it something that if they do start wondering, there is a pull between the two. Don't make it easy for it. Because I want to tell you, the danger that's out there is enormous. It's enormous danger out there for us. And so many times that we come and say, oh, what a bunch of hooligans we have out there. And I can't help them thinking, we raised them. We raised them. It was us that taught them the value of things. It's us that's teaching them today the value of things. You know, most of the time, what I give in a little on may stay a little with me, but it rarely does with my children that follow me. They just don't see the value in it. So Lord, help us. Do we make it valuable? And I think I've seen some trends that I'd like to mention. I've seen some trends. I think I have the right to say it. I go a lot of places, so I can see trends that's happening. We're getting on a low ebb. And I'm not being critical. I love saints, but I'm going to just tell you the truth. It's getting so folks can go to the service or they're not. And they don't care much one way or the other. It's just the truth. There is you always got a core, of course, but I'm seeing a trend. The trend is that it's not as much there. Just not as much desire. It's not as much passion. You may say, I'll make it. I'll make it, brother. I'll make it. I still got enough for it. But I'm more concerned about the little ones that's coming on too. Because there's danger there when they're not given really the real full attention of it. They're going to go beyond that even farther. If it's not important to us other than a triviality, I can do it or I cannot. I don't find a lot of value in it. Lord, help us. I see some trends. I appreciated the spatial song, and I'm not a singer, so maybe it's easy for me to say. Not that we have to have spatial singing, but I am noticing a trend. I've been in a lot of revivals, been in a lot of different places. Just hasn't been any. If that concerns you, well, I'm just giving you some information this morning. I've been to several revivals and meetings recently, and there's been none or little to none. Maybe one in a whole week's meeting. Maybe not. Maybe just very little. And I don't know how to say it other than this, but it concerns me a little bit. Because it speaks to me of spiritual life and of concern and care. And if we're singing less and less, maybe our children won't want to sing at all. maybe there's something more involved in it. Maybe there's some pressures coming on. The reason that this is what I see. I think maybe we're leaving our place. That's what I see. Tell you what I mean by that. It is so easy today to entertain yourself with something. I ain't talking evil. I ain't talking sin. I'm just talking about entertaining yourself. It's so easy to entertain yourself. It's so easy to get something from somewhere to hold myself, to entertain myself with something. And I have noticed myself, so I can tell you, I find that if I entertain myself too much, that I'm entertaining myself right out of a desire for God and His service. Amen. I'm not having the same desire that I've had towards God and going to see what God's doing and being a part of and hearing good singing and singing good singing and having a part of it. I'm not as zealous as I used to because it's so much easy for me to get a little entertainment here, a little there. And I'm filling myself up. I'm filling myself up. Scripture right above this scripture in Proverbs 27 says that the full soul loatheth an honeycomb. But to a hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Now, how could anyone loathe a honeycomb? I imagine, especially in the day that this was written, before processed sugars and all the different things that makes things sweet, a honeycomb must have been a very special thing. or I would have thought it would be. What this says, of course, isn't somebody sits around with a bad attitude or hates or has any feeling of anger towards a honeycomb. That would be absurd. It's not what it's talking about. It's talking about utterly devaluing it to the point that you would walk on it. Rather than to pick it up, that it being valuable, somebody that's full has no more care or concern about something as sweet as a honeycomb to even bend down for it. Walk right over top of it and wouldn't matter. But it says to a hungry soul, every bitter thing sweet. And what is happening, I believe that we're leaving our place and it's causing us not to really have a full desire for God. Because I'm full. You fill me up with something, it's hard to eat. Go over there at the dining hall and just eat all that you can eat and then have somebody come present you a big spoonful of honey. Here, have this. I can't eat that. I just had two big bowls of bread pudding with raisins. That was so good. That's good. But once I get through with that, there's no room for anything else. And once we filled up with everything around, I'm not talking about necessarily bad, maybe indifferent, but Lord help us, that we have a desire for God because we're going to raise up another generation to show, and what are they going to be interested in? I have all pity on our world to think of those, that time, young people, that you're at, that you're starting to make decisions about things and have desires toward things. I hope it's toward God and towards good things. And I hope you still have an idea in your mind that I'm gonna accomplish, I'm gonna do something with the Lord here. Lord, how would you let me to go in this life, being led of the Lord? Oh, but that time in the world, folks, I'm telling you, right there at that time, start making decisions that's gonna hurt your life. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. Lord, help us to stay in that place. God has made a place of security for us. In 15th chapter of Luke, familiar scripture, 11th verse says, and he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance in riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Now, here's the story, prodigal son, probably all heard it many, many times. I want to tell you, this is a success story. Here was a man that went out, that wandered from his place. And he was able to come back. And it's a great story of the love and mercy and grace of our Heavenly Father. And thank God for it. Amen. Because I was a long ways out of any good place at one time in my life, and the Lord had mercy on me. And I think that's a wonderful story. But I'm going to tell you, there could be many, many times this amount of stories that could be written of those that wandered from their place that never came back. I'm going to tell you, if you do come back, it's going to cost you something. Going out there, wandering from your place, folks, is going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something, but you probably won't be willing to, you can't afford it. Many people say in the youth of their life, they say, I'm not going to get serious with God. I'm really not going to get serious with God. And they spend their teenage years not being serious with God, and then they spend their early adult, and many times they get married and make some of the biggest decisions and with other people involved that they'll ever make. But they don't really want to get serious with the Lord. And then a lot of times in the middle age, things start happening maybe, and they've had a foundation in their lives, and they begin to say, I want to be serious with God. But they never was serious through their children's. Now I'm telling you folks, I see some. I've seen it around. Yeah. I've seen people that I feel like that one of these days they're going to get serious with God. They're hanging. They're close. They stray off from time to time. They fly beyond the boundaries. And it's dangerous. And you can see the devil after them at time and time. He's getting claws into them sometime. And then they'll wander back. They'll get back into protection. And all at the same time, they're rearing these little children. One of these days, they're going to say, would you saints pray for my children? Well, sure, we'll pray for them. Sure, we'll. I'm going to tell you, it's going to cost you more. You're going to be wanting to pay one of these days from wandering from your place. Which one of your children today would you sacrifice because there's a lack of nutrition? Which one are you going to give up because there's just not enough spirituality here? There's just not enough good things to go around here. There's just not enough of my time. You see, I'm busy. I'm busy doing this and I'm busy doing that and I'm entertaining myself. So yeah. Go ahead. Whatever. Just mama, take care of it. Go ahead. I'm going to tell you, it's going to cost you something. This young man said, give me that which is mine. And I'm going to tell you, there wasn't a hesitation written here. It was just like Brother Larry said last night. You have a will. And when you express that will to God, don't you think He made you with it? And He'll be quick to let you exert your will. Yes. He's the one that gave it to you. And He exerted His will. I want that which belongs to me. And there was no hesitation here. He divided their living between them. Here it is. I want my living. Here's your living. You want to make a decision with it? Make a decision. You want to invest this? Invest it and let it grow and be more and more. It's going to cost you something, folks. I'm going to tell you something. The young man come back, but he didn't bring back his inheritance with him. He found the grace of God, and I believe that's a wonderful story of what God done and restored him and all those things, but he had a lot less than he could have had. I'm going to tell you something else, this young man. There's no story here that this young man was dragging a bunch of children back with him either. And how many times? That's the story. Yeah. There's a lot of other people affected and comes in on this. This man said, give me that. God give it to you. God will give it to you today. If you want to squander it, it's in your hands. My soul is continually in my hands. I can do with it whatever I want to. I have to wonder this. Do you know where your place is at? That's an important question. How can I stay there if I don't know what it is? I need to know my boundaries. Lord, help me to know where my boundaries are at. Instead of having an attitude, Lord, I want to get just as close to the things I can enjoy. Let me know just how close I can get. No, I want to have a heart to God to say, Lord, just how far you want me to stay away. Lord, help me to be able to stay into a safe place, in a place that will be able to nourish my children and those that are around me, be able to bring good things into them. Here comes somebody and says, here is a fair, I'll give you this honeycomb. We don't want no honeycomb. You know what that honeycomb is? It's gospel. It's sweet. It's sweetness of life. This is the good things. When you get to the place that you can't eat something sweet, you're in trouble. When you love it, when you would walk on it and trample on the good things, when good things don't mean anything to you, when wholesome things don't mean anything to you, there's not enough excitement in our services. Come on, let's do something. Lord, help us. You know what's happening? We're being tantalized by the world and its bongs and its beats and all that things, and all of a sudden, my grandmother, bless her heart, this dear old saint, some of you might remember, she just loved the Lord. And she thought she probably couldn't sing any better than I can. But boy, she would sing, and it was rough to hear. And she had sing, and she thought that there was nothing in this world like the saints singing. I remember her saying, just nothing in it. Well, she had some of her sons that went and they could, boy, they could really play music and that kind of stuff. But they would come and say, she would say, now if you want to hear some real music, I'm going to play you some real music. And she'd put that on and they'd say, it's just too bland. I know it needs something in it, but now why was there such a difference of opinion about that? They wasn't hungry. They wasn't hungry. See, my grandma was sitting around hungry. She hadn't filled herself up with anything. When she started playing the music, it was doing something to her. She was eating it. That was good. That's good. Give me some more of that. Sounds good. Listen to what they're saying. That's good. You take somebody that's full. I don't want that. Get that away. Give me my living. And so he gave it to him. And he went out, and the thing of it is, like I said before, a young man. He goes out into the world, makes a decision. Crucial time of his life. Makes a decision. Oh, Lord help today. Young people don't know what to do. It's like Brother Larry was saying about getting frustrated. The only thing we'd almost do is beg, please. Please don't do that. Please don't go out and let the world gobble you up. I'm telling you, you think that they're friendly. You think they've got your answers for you. You think it's happiness. You think all that. You think mom and dad are sticks in the mud. You think this old way's just not exciting enough. I'm going to tell you, it's dangerous out there. They're going to leave you high and dry one of these days. You're going to be wore completely out there. And when they get all that you have, I remember, you know, friends ain't hard to get when you got money. They're not hard to get when you get money. I had a cousin of mine. He was in an automobile accident. He was just riding, and he got through from a truck or something, and the insurance settled with him, and he was young. He was just 16 or something, and they settled for him, and he got thousands of dollars out of that settlement. Here's a poor old boy all of a sudden with thousands of dollars. And he went and bought him a car. And that thing was packed every time I saw it. They would stop at and it'd be like one of these little clown deals jumping out of there. They would people jump out. You wouldn't think you could get that many people in that car. He had friends all over. Went and bought him a Jeep, and then the Jeep was like everywhere he went, he had a bunch of friends going with him all the time. Well, until his money run out. He was buying and he was sporting. He was driving them where they needed to go and all that, had friends. Then the money runs out. I don't see nobody coming back with this guy. He had money, he had somebody to spend it with and run around and he hooked himself to these people and all this kind of stuff, and then he ran out of money and now where is he at? Was there anybody there? You know, Brother Larry mentioned, or Brother Danny mentioned, and Brother Larry did too, about gambling. It's so easily looked at. Gambling's been around as long as there's been people to gamble. But I'm going to tell you something, it's rotten as it can be. Don't give yourself to that. Don't lose your place. And so, you know, it starts sometimes innocently enough. I'll tell you what I feel about it. I remember I was saved and I didn't want to have nothing to do with it. And I went in, had my car worked on one time, and they get everybody. When you paid your bill, they give you a lottery ticket. Now give me this lottery ticket. I remember taking that lottery ticket and thinking, huh? I wonder what that might be. You could win a lot of money on those things. I was thinking, oh, I wonder what that could be a lot of money right there. And I thought, gambling's wrong. And lotteries is wrong. And I want nothing to do with it. And then there was a suggestion come to me that said, it ain't gambling because you didn't pay no money for it. Well, that's true. I didn't gamble anything, right? I didn't pay for it. They didn't give it to me as a gift, but it's here. And you know, I was kind of back and forth with that thing. And you know, I don't know what to this day. That's been years and years ago. I have no idea what it was. I never did scratch it. And it was such a testimony. I'm telling you, I felt so good in the Lord after I made that decision. I don't care what it is. This might be a $10 million ticket. But it don't matter. Because I ain't scratching this ticket. And I threw it away. Threw it away. You know what? I won't be trapped with it. It's ugly, folks. That stuff is killing people. Oh, yeah, there's people out there that's got money enough to do that with, and they go in and blow it sometimes and win it sometimes. But you know where the most of the money's made with that stuff? With people that can't afford to do it. And it's hurting them, and it's hurting their family. And where did it all start from? Lord, help us. If I can deter my children from having that kind of a mind, help me, Lord, to stay above that kind of stuff. My children's heard me tell that testimony. I didn't scratch that ticket because God's too important to me. Salvation's too important to me. I hope one day if they get one, they'll say, you know what? I remember what Dad said about that and how important it was to him. I was going to throw it away. We say more with our lives than we do with the words. Lord, help us. There's so much out there. And they're so right. Go by them billboards and it's all smiles. in all this? You remember what Brother Sammons used to say about the Marlboro man? Oh, he's had a good-looking cowboy up there. You give him enough years and he's not a good-looking cowboy up there. He's got emphysema and lung cancer and he's withering all that. That's what they need to show. They need to show what it does. Yeah, this game and everybody's got money and smiling and having a big time. They don't show the fights that happened because of it. They don't show the families that's destroyed. Folks, don't go that way. Don't leave your place. They're not your friends. They're advertising that they're your friends. They're going to help you win. We give out all kind of money here. Come on and join us. They're not your friends. They're not your friends. Those friends that's out there that's bopping along through life, not caring about anything. Yeah, I'm going to run with them. And we're going to have a good time. You're going to go up there. They're not your friends. They're not caring after you. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. And he began to be in want. Folks, I don't know what's going to happen to our country at the time it's going to happen. I don't know if this economy will get better or worse. I have no idea. And I don't know if anybody knows but God. But I'm going to tell you this. The scripture says that the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. Yes. And we're fastly forgetting Him. Yes. And He ain't going to forget that.
That's right.
This thing, there is a famine. And the famine is not going to be for bread. But there's going to be a famine of good things in this life. There's going to be a famine of things to get a hold of that's really virtuous and good. And that really does something for people. I'm going to tell you, we're in a bad time. And it isn't any time to be indifferent about things or just be haphazard about things. Our nation is leaving its place. There was a place, I believe, that the United States had in God's heart because people that set it up believed and feared in God. But we're leaving that place. And we're just like a bird that leaves its place. The devil's on the fringes all the way around it. And he circles it all the time. And he's devouring everything that comes out of from that protection. And our country's getting in trouble. It's getting in trouble more and more as it goes. They're promoting more and more different kind of lifestyles, folks. It's not right.
Amen.
And we're all numbing to it. You be honest. It's not near the shock it was. We're numbing to it. The world's numbing to it. We're all numbing to it. God ain't numbing to it.
That's right.
Our nation's leaving its place. But there's been nations that's left God before. But we can't afford to be caught up in it. We're going to have to stand distinctly against it in this our time when it is so easy. You know, I find too a trend that it is that a lot of things that used to be sensitive to people is not sensitive because of how far things are going. In relativity, it's so far that it makes it look like being concerned and caring about these true or small things is not important anymore. But it's still the foxes, little foxes that spoil the vines. Got to be careful about what we do that we don't leave our place. To go outside of God to get these things in for our life, to entertain us, to help us to do all these things, to go outside of those boundaries that God has given us. This young man went outside that. And again, I say he's a success story. We'll read it. It was great. I'm glad that there is always for everyone that's lost their place, this story that you can come back. Thank God for it. But I say again, you can't come back like you left. It's going to cost you something. There was a man at Monarch 2 years ago, year before last. Several of us were standing around talking to him. I hadn't seen him in 20 years. And he told us, he said, I've been robbed. I've had 20 years of my life stolen from me. 20 years. 20 years, folks, stolen. This was his words. Because he left his place. I left. And I've been robbed of 20 years. Well, Lord help us. You can come back. But sometimes you'll never recover what you lost. Lord help us today.
Amen.
be able to, this our time. I believe it. I believe in God, and folks, I believe that He's able to keep us. And my prayer, if this makes sense to you, I just open my heart to you. There's been things in my life that I have really enjoyed. I told my wife this other. There's been things in my life that I have really enjoyed. I'm saying I look forward to them with a passion. I love the deer hunt. I used to love the deer hunt. I mean, I loved it. And this first day of deer season was it. I was telling the Lord the other day, Lord, help me to feel like that towards your service. I need to feel that way towards your service, towards your things, towards seeing a soul get help. Lord, help me to feel the same way that I can't wait, Lord. I can't wait to be able to express what you give me. Lord, help me to feel that way. What? Is that a bad prayer? Help me to be able to show how important you are to me. Oh, there's things that people just, the flesh, you know what I'm saying? The flesh longs for so much that when that game or that time comes for that thing, that to happen, whatever it is all that's what I've waited long for. Praying, Lord, help me that I feel that way about you and about the things of God. Because I don't want to try to struggle along in this thing and it not be real. Amen. I need something from the Lord. I don't want to leave my place. And I think the story of Jesus dying on that cross, what He gave for us, the reality of it is so dynamic to us. It should be. It should be something that we can, that I don't have to be, well, you know how it is. I mean, be honest. I don't know, there's probably other deer hunters in here. You ever get the good one? You know what I mean? Well, I have. I mean, I've got the good ones, the big ones. And you know what I've done? I about wore this big 12 point I had out. Taking it around, showing it to everybody. I got this big one and I put it in the trunk of my car and I left his head and his rack up so everybody could see it and I drove around and there would be people honk the horn so I'd stop so they could get out and talk and then I'd keep going and I drove it around and around and back and forth and go again and show it to everybody. I want everybody to see it. We got something better than that. Lord, help us. What's our children going to think if the Holy See Day? They got excited over that deer. Well, get me a gun. You know what, man? If we got excited over the Lord, they'd say, I want a Bible for Christmas. What do you want for your birthday? I'd like to have a new Bible. Thank the Lord. I want something that's real. Yeah, it's time to start softball season or baseball. It's time to play basketball. I want a new basketball. You want a new basketball? Well, show everybody. Got this is top of the line. NBA, all this. Show everybody my basketball. You know, maybe if we had that kind of a desire to the Lord, let me tell you what the Lord, yeah, if it's Wednesday night and we can pry long enough and sit long enough and stir around long enough, we can get somebody to stand up and say what the Lord done after they thought a good long time or after somebody else stirred their thinking a little bit, they can say a little bit for the Lord. Well, I'd be telling people everywhere. I'd be telling them out on, let me tell you what the Lord done for me. Let me tell you how the Lord works here. That, then maybe our children seeing that would have more of a desire. This is real. Oh, we need to be, folks, in our place. If you understand the analogy, we have a place in God, a reality in God. It's our place. And when we leave that place, we open up for all kind of things that comes in there. And it's the unspoken. I didn't say it. I love God with all my heart, my soul, mind, and strength. But my children's going to say, I think He loves deer hunting with all His mind, soul, and strength. See? They know. My words are only half or less of what's true. But when we don't go to service and our heart's there, because we don't always go, there's things happens. But while he's thinking about it, because there's a little honey there, and I'm hungry, and I'm hungry, and I'm hungry. So we have these things that we do in our life, and they know it. And I've noticed in my children, they don't take long before they'll get a hold of that. They know the difference. They're pretty smart. We tell our children quite often, they'll say, do we have to go to church? No, we say, we get to. We get to go to church because it's a privilege to get to go. It's fun to get to go. And when we show them that, then before long they want to go. Time to go. Let's go. They'll be disappointed if you don't. Lord, help us to be in our place. Brother Larry also mentioned last night a script about the time that Jerusalem was destroyed. You remember Jesus in what, 24th chapter of Matthew, was to ask some questions and he referred back and it was to the end of time and about the destruction of Jerusalem. In my mind, those two scriptures, the scriptures that he told, says it in a way that the destruction of Jerusalem was really an allegory in a way to the end of time, the way it's worded. And the way that the destruction came upon them. And he warned them. Folks, I'm going to tell you, Jesus' words in that time warned the people of Jerusalem. The Christians that were in Jerusalem, the historians say that the Christians was not caught in Jerusalem because they had been warned that when you see these things happening, flee. Flee the city. And Jesus had terminologies like that it not be on the Sabbath day. They would close the gates on the Sabbath day so that your flight not be then. That you can't get out. Or that you would be with child, for instance, and it would hinder your quick motions. He was warning them. Be alert. Be aware, because when you see these signs coming, you're not going to have much time. But the Christians of that era, 70 AD, had heeded that warning and was not caught in Jerusalem. And it was horrible. There was counts of eating their own children. And I mean, it was terrible what happened inside Jerusalem. But the Jews were spared. They were spared because they were in their place. Yes. They had heeded the words of Jesus. They were in their place. They was living close to God. And they were spared of that. And they took their families with them. Thank the Lord. The families was with them. Families moved out of there. Folks, there's a place, just like a bird in its nest. There is a place that we have the very best chance of raising our children. Will one fall out of the nest sometime and get gobbled up? Happens, don't it? You have the very best opportunity and place we have if we stay right in our place. In the security of that cover of that tree and that thorn bush and that place where that nest is put that keeps it hidden from the foes and hidden from the predators and all that. God has set a place for you and I that's right there in the palm of His hand. It is the very best place for you and I to be able to have the family circle unbroken. I love family. And I love getting together with my family. And I see bitternesses and divorces and ragings and all these things. My prayer is that it never come close to me. I want to be able to raise, I want to see my children, grandchildren. I want to see them all right there in that very safe place. I'm going to tell you what makes it safe. The Lord's in it. The Lord's in it protecting this fort. Thank the Lord that He was willing to do that for us. I'm going to read the rest of this scripture. When he spent all of his, and arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have fain filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, and that's so important, folks, and when he came to himself, look and see what your life's doing to you. Look and see. Is this really doing it? Is this really where I'm supposed to be? Is this my place? Lord, is this the place that you've made for me? Is this my habitation? Is this my nest? Is this where I'm supposed to be? Is this the circle of my world right here? Am I staying within the boundaries of what you'd have? Am I living where you want me to be doing what you want me to be doing? Am I have the right mindset in the place? It said, and he came to himself and said, no. No, it's not. I know I left my place. I thought there was another place. I thought this would do it. I thought I'd someday show Dad. I don't know how this works. I can imagine how it works, though. Maybe it was all peaches and cream, and he was just a good boy, and one day said, Dad, you know, we've got along so well over the years, and it's been fine, and all this, but I'm just ready to go. Maybe it's been that way, but it ain't not always that way. A lot of times it's too much fuss. It's too much aggravation. It's too much things. It's the pressing the boundary and the father saying, no, son, no. Get back from there. You're too young to start spreading out like that. You're too, no, you can't do that. Oh, Dad, I'm miserable here. You got us bound up around here. You can't do this nothing. The caravans come by with all their trinkets and you won't even let us go out and try to see what's out there. You keep us from it. We see the dancing and the music. You keep us from it. Oh, no, son, don't do it. There's heartache out there. But I want mine. I want mine. Maybe that's the way it was, because I'm going to tell you, that's the way the human heart works so often. It's the way it works. This young man said, I want mine. But there come a time, he said, he come to himself. Dad was right. I've been down here. And see, people say he was down there eating with the swine. He wasn't eating anything. He would have. He had lowered his self-worth down till he would... Very disgusting for the Jews to talk this way about swine. Feeding them was disgusting. It was defilement. This guy said, not only was he working feeding them, but he would eat their food. You can't get no lower than that. He would have eat their food, but nobody had let him have any. And so he comes to himself, and after all this says, of all that that I neglected and denied, and all that that I would not accept, I have to admit, I'm wrong. And Dad's right. And I know somebody that's going to love me anyway. And Dad loved me. And that's why there's boundaries. That's why there's places, folks. That's why God sets barriers and standards in our lives. Because He don't want us going out there. That's why He don't want us to have that. He don't want us destroyed. He don't want us devoured. He don't want us half. God is not wanting us to half. He'll deal with our halfness, but He don't want us to be half. He wants us to be whole. Completely whole. He wants us to have the good things of life. It wasn't His will that this young man took off and then come back. He was so glad he did. But He wanted him to have all of his riches. He wanted him to have all his potentials, folks. You'll limit your potentials if you go out there. It'll never be the same. I'm going to tell you, he come back, but it never was the same. But I thank God that he did say, he came to himself. And when he came to himself... Oh, I can see it. I remember me. I remember when I did it. I remember it well. I remember it at 23 years old that I was so miserable. I was miserable, miserable, miserable. You'd have thought I had the whole world ahead of me, 23 years old. I was strong. I was healthy. All these things, and I was miserable. And thinking life has to have more to it than this. This is miserable. Didn't get along with anybody. I didn't have no hope for anything. I came to myself. That's what I did. I came to myself and said, surely there's more than this. He came to himself and he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise. I'm going to tell you, this young man didn't have it all together clear, but he must have had something. Enough to know that his father wouldn't reject him. He must have knew, Dad, I'm not going to run back. And he's going to say, shame on you. You've disgraced the family and you've disgraced me. Now get on out of here and go feed your pigs. He had more hope than that. He had more hope than that. Folks, we still got a chance. Thank God we still got a chance. We still got a chance to make it all that it can be from that point on. I can right the wrongs. I can change the things. I can show from this point on. I can alter. I can't alter the past, but I can the future. My decisions will do it by God's help. He said, I'm going back home. Say to the Father, I will rise and go to my Father and will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and run and fell on his neck and kissed him. And that is the illustration. That is the idea of what our Father will do to us. He didn't have to go all the way, did he? He didn't have to go all the way. God met him. And God will meet you too. God will meet you too. When you say, Lord, I sure am sorry I left my place. You had a wonderful place for me. I have been privileged to hear the gospel story. I told Brother Doug the other day, he had a wonderful message the other day. And I told him afterwards, you know, the only thing that message did for me was confirm it. He didn't change my mind about anything. Brother Doug's message, that didn't change my mind. Just confirmed what I already believed. I said, amen. That's right. How many millions upon millions of people that are out there that need to hear that message will never hear it? We've been privileged to be in a place, folks. We're in a place of security and love and happiness. I'm going to tell you, when one of us get down, we'll all come running. I've seen it happen in my life. Thank God for the people of God. It's safe here. I don't have to worry. As Brother Kimball used to say, I don't have to worry about my back. My back's secure around here. Nobody after me. We're in a blessed place, folks. This young man says, I know what I'll do. I'm going to go tell Father I've sinned against him. And he has that all in his mind. Do you know he didn't say that to the Father? He said, that's what I'm going to say when I get there. Well, that might have changed the Father's mind. No, it didn't change the Father's mind. The Lord, you know why he saw him a long ways off? Because he's looking. That's why he saw him. He saw him a long ways coming back. God wants you to come back to your place. You have a place. It's a special place. It's a place of protection. It's a place of security. It'll take you right through your old age. You can anchor on it. You can anchor on this. You can anchor on the idea that all things work together for good to them that love God. You can anchor on that. It'll be true in your young years and it'll be true in your old ones. Things are going to get difficult if you get old. I see it happening to the older people. It's happening to me. It's getting tougher and tougher. But I'm still anchored in God that it's all well. I accept everything that this will of God. It's right for my life. He's working. He's there to secure me. This man said, I'm coming back. I'm going back home. And we'll tell the Father, I've sinned against you. Here comes the Father. Puts his arms around him. Did he make him a hired servant? That's what he said. I'm going to be a hired servant. Is that what God had in mind for him? God don't have in mind for you when you come back to be a hired servant. I'll be less. No. You come on, we'll put the ring on you. You know what that ring, that meant a part of the family. I'm going to put the robe on you. I'm going to dress you. I'm going to clothe you. I'm going to make a great feast for you. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to give you a home. Give you a place. Folks, best place to serve God or to live this life is in God's protection. You have a place. A man that leaves his place is like a bird that leaves his nest. Don't know how better to say it other than this. How much defense does a bird have? I'm just talking about a little sparrow. What defense do they have out there? They're not much of fighters. What do they do to defend themselves? They stay in their place. Their place that they're going to be successful and to be able to raise their generations is right in their place. Lord, help us today. You pray for me. I want to be found in my place.